Hello.
Hello, goodbye. Hello, goodbye.
Listen, attention, Nerdy Legion listeners. Breaking news. Mr. We usually record on Sunday night. Today is Wednesday night, and one Martin Ferretti had to cancel last Sunday night. Hello, I'm Nick Wetmore, Nerdy Legion investigative reporter. Investigation. Why was Martin not here on Sunday? Did he go across state lines to South Carolina? Was he at Justin Bieber's wedding on Monday? All these questions will be answered on your next Nerdy Legion Investigates. Dun, dun, dun.
On the next one, not on this one.
Not on this one. Buddy, that's what we call in the podcasting game a little tease.
A tease. I like it.
Hey, quick question for you.
I have answers. Ready?
Okay, I know you're pretty, percentage-wise, what would you say in a month is your reading habits, comic-wise, your reading habits, digital to physical?
Oh, man, right now I'd say like 95% digital.
Okay, good. Then my next question, that's what I figured, and mine is very similar. Now my next question is, do you think, at this point in your life, have you read more digital comics than physical comics? And if not, when do you predict that digital reading numbers will overtake the physical reading numbers?
You know, I have never thought about this question before.
Thank you.
I have never thought about this.
Thank you.
If I do some quick math in my head.
Go ahead. Proceed.
I would say I have read more digital.
At this point in your life?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, dude, because now I read depending on the month, at least 50 books.
Wow. Okay. Because I think I'm still about probably 2 years away from overtaking.
Well, sure. But you're a little bit older than I am, so you had a longer period of time reading print comics.
This is true. And really, on a month-to-month basis, I think you read more issues. I mean, I might read more trades, but even just breaking down trades into issues, I don't think I read near as much as you do.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I would say, the first 10 years of my comic book reading life, I would read less than a dozen a month.
Just because you were too young, you couldn't afford other issues, type of thing?
Yeah, something like that.
Gotcha. Or you were in school and you had to read prose.
Yeah. Plus, I was also out of comics for 2 years.
I hear you. I hear you.
So I would say it's got to be close, man. It's got to be close.
Gotcha. And what about Batman-wise, if you just looked at your Batman comic book collection?
Oh, I've definitely read more print.
Oh, and when do you think that will be overtaken? Because, needless to say, they're only putting out how many titles a month? So that has to be a slower hill to climb.
Yeah, if you count just Batman, it's two books, really. But then, if you want to count Batman Superman, then that's a Batman book. If you want to count, Batman Damned or anything like that, or
sure.
Metal, then whatever, it's more. I think that would take a lot longer for me to catch up on that than
I would think
on comics overall.
Unless you're going back and reading old stuff digitally.
Yeah.
Because if you're just looking at new stuff in a year, my ballpark guess on strictly Batman titles, not Batman in Justice League, guest appearances, not stuff like that, but in a year, would you say right around 100, maybe?
100 what?
100 issues in a year.
Batman-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah. So that's going to be a long hill to climb.
Yeah. I would say that's probably about right.
Gotcha, gotcha. I was just thinking about that today. Just, boy, I mean, I read so many digitally, and I read so much more than when I was a young kid because I couldn't afford comics. But there was a good decade and a half where digital wasn't my thing, and I was still just as a voracious reader, getting stuff from the library and from friends and buying stuff. So, yeah, there was quite a few long boxes filled with that type of stuff.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I would say, what's happening here? I'm trying to sign up.
Well, we're recording an episode of Nerdy Legion now.
I'm trying Martin to
sign Freddy in. Is not eating food right now, so this is a proper episode of Nerdy Legion.
Correct. I'm changing my eating habit.
Oh.
So for dinner, I had some delicious turmeric bone broth.
Mmm, nice.
It's quite good.
Nice.
And right now I'm drinking some red oolong tea.
Good.
with real raw honey.
Oh, not any foreign raw honey?
No, you know, like real honey, like with the honeycomb in it and like bits of pollen in it. It looks like, I don't know, it's like white.
Have you heard about this whole honey scandal that's been going on for the last like year and a half?
Oh, honey, you gotta tell me.
Have you heard of that? Because
no.
There's a lot of, like, labeling inconsistencies in the U.S. where a lot of the honey will come from China, overseas, you know, Mexico, that type of thing. But yet they'll label it as U.S. because they add a certain percentage of U.S. honey to it. But the majority of it is from other countries.
Interesting.
Yeah,
well, you know, the bees are dying, so you got to get the honey wherever you can.
Not necessary. I don't trust some foreign bodies not putting in foreign substances. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So let me tell you. So I was doing stevia for a while because I've cut sugar out. So I was doing stevia, but like even though it's a natural sweetener, it doesn't taste very good. You know what I mean? So I switched to honey, and at first I was just doing regular honey, which you can get like super cheap, but then I went down a rabbit hole on reading about honey, and I was like, well, I should get raw honey. So I would buy like raw honey from wherever, like farmer's market or something like that, right? Well, tonight I ran out of tea, and I was very low on honey, so I went to the local supermarket to get some tea, and then I went to get some honey. And they've got a great selection of honey at this place. I was very surprised. And I was going to get one that just so happens to be the same brand that I've been buying, because it's somewhat local. And then right next to it, there was this other one. It's called Real Raw Honey. And it's obviously different from the rest, because the rest look like honey. You know, like that golden caramel color.
Sure.
But this one was white with specks on it. I like a whitish yellow. And so I went ahead and read the label to like 10 different brands of honey. And of course, like they all have just like honey as the only ingredient, right? There is no other ingredient to honey.
Most of them do. Some of them don't. Some of them have natural flavoring, which is just chemicals, not really natural.
Correct.
Or they'll do, what the hell else have I seen added into it? For sweetener, it's almost like they add, like, God, what the hell was it? A key powder? Something like that.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe agave syrup? Maybe that's what
That makes sense, yeah.
To make it sweeter.
Yeah. Tonight was quite an experience, because I have never had real raw honey. I've only had, like, what I thought was raw honey, which is, like, I guess organic honey. I don't know. What does that mean?
Sure.
But I never had this honey like this. And let me tell you, it's quite delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I was very pleasantly surprised. It takes a lot longer to dissolve the honey into my tea. But it's quite good. It's almost creamy.
Yeah, you just have to read the labels. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and the label caught my eye because, like, the thing on there was, we only use honey from our beehives in the U.S., no foreign honey. Our bees are never sent to, like, fields to pollinate, like, plants or anything. Like, the sole purpose of our honeys is to live in their beehive and make honey. Or mm-hmm. the sole purpose of our bees. And I was like, huh, that's pretty cool. So I got it. It's very good. It's very expensive, though. It was like $16 for a one-pound jar.
Yeah, I've seen those type of labels, and that's what made me go down that wiki rabbit hole of, like, what do you mean foreign honey? What the hell is this about?
Mm.
So, just like maple syrup, Canadian maple syrup sent me down a wiki path, so did honey.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I went down the maple syrup rabbit hole one time, and I was like, ugh, I don't want any of these syrups.
It's a tricky game.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah,
it's so like Vegas in the 50s, like run by the mob, but not really the mob, but really the mob.
But I'm very very pleased with this newfound ingredient of mine.
Good.
It's not as sweet as honey.
Yeah,
like the brown honey.
Right level.
And it's got like a little nutty flavor.
Mm,
it's very good.
Yeah, you only need a little bit, so $16. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, that'll last me all week, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, can I circle back to something we were discussing, I believe, yesterday?
It's your show.
Thank you. All right, quick question for you. When do you leave a comic book title, and when do you bail out on a book?
Are we talking new titles or established titles?
I'm posing the question open-ended. I can give you my answers, but you proceed.
So if it's a new book, it depends on the format of the book. So you're a firm believer in everyone's – what is it? Every comic should be everyone's first comic, right? I am not. However, I do think that you should give a book a story arc in order to develop properly. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it doesn't always work out perfectly because now we just have a lot of miniseries instead of, 12, 20, 30, 50 issues like we used to have or longer.
Yes.
So that can be a little difficult sometimes to figure out, well, do I want this book? Because, like, by the time – if it's a 4-issue, 5-issue mini, like, you really need at least 2 issues to know what's happening correctly. You know what I mean?
Wow. I didn't even go down that path, but I have an answer for that as well. So yeah.
By the time you get to halfway through the series, if it's only 4 issues, like, you might as well just pick the rest of it up and see how it finishes. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I agree, but proceed.
I don't know. Just when I read a comic, and this is true of any, not just comics, but like books and movies and TV, like, I try to engross myself in the world that what the team is trying to create. And I think for something like TV, because it takes so much longer, right? Like, if you have a season, it's going to be, at least 8-9 episodes usually. A lot of TV shows still do the, 20 episode seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing that, you can probably like determine pretty quickly, right? Within like an episode or two, if you want to keep going. With a comic, because the time investment is very short, right? Like 5-10 minutes per issue. I don't feel like 1 issue is enough for a lot of things. And that may be a failing on the writer, of course, or the creative team. Because really, like, you should know what's up with the book by issue 1. But a lot of the things that I like to read, there's no way you can set up the premise and get all the intricacies of the story told within the first issue. So it might work with, like, Cape and Cows pretty quickly, right? Like, if you have a superhero book, you can tell within, like, an issue if you want to keep reading or not. But if you're telling, like, a murder mystery, like, you can't determine how that's going to end up being just on 1 issue. You might get the plot and the basic characters, but, like, what's actually going to happen. And I like to engross myself in these worlds and not quite, like, live the fantasy, but something to that effect. You know what I mean? Like, I try to engross myself as much as I can in what I read, because generally what I read is stuff that I actually want to read. Even though I read so many books, I've cut out a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff I no longer read because I just don't care. So even the large number of books that I read still encompasses stuff that I find really interesting.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think I'm comic book series wise, I would be an arc to make that decision. I don't know if I could ever tell anything with one issue. But for a limited series, I am judging that in 1 to 2 issues. And depending on the creative team, I might give it more time, but it is a limited series. So guess what? If you don't have me hooked by the 1 or 2 issues and you're doing a 6-issue arc, that's a third of the story. If you don't have me hooked by then, I have no problem bailing on it. But really, it depends on the creative team for me, at least.
Yeah, I think that's true too. Like if a book from Vault comes out, for example, like I know Vault puts out quality comics. So if I'm not like all the way in on the first issue, I know that I can go to issue 2 or maybe 3 and get kind of the stuff that I need in order to continue reading the book. But I think by issue 2, though, you should definitely know, like, do I want to keep reading this or not? I don't think you can tell that by just 1 issue a lot of times, regardless of the writer or the story.
I would say new IPs you can tell.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You're coming in, I don't know the creative team, and I don't know this IP, and if you haven't hooked me in 1 issue, and I'll even go back to your noir mystery example, I don't want to know everything, but if you can't hook me in 30 pages to want me to read more, I don't know if I want to move forward then. Because at this point, comics are so freaking expensive, I have to like be a little bit withholding of my money.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. I tried to make as good a guess as I can early on whether I'm going to stick with the story or not. And if I feel like I'm not really going to read past like 2 issues, then I'm probably just not going to read the first one to begin with.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Right? So, who were we talking about yesterday? Oh, Ryan Brown. So, like, if Ryan Brown comes up with a comic, like, his own stuff, right? I'm not talking about, like, he's working for somebody else. But if Ryan Brown comes up with a comic, I have to decide pretty quickly, like, do I want to read this? Because I love Ryan Brown art, but I don't like comedy books. And a lot of times, he'll do comedy. And he does great comedy. I think the example I used yesterday on Twitter was God Hates Astronauts, which I really love. But it's a completely nonsensical comic.
True.
And there is no way in hell you could pick that book up at any point in the series and know what the hell's going on.
Right. But you're also, at this point, you know that Ryan Brown has a little bit of a track record, so you just hope the journey that you're on, just like Grant Morrison, is worth the journey.
Yes.
That's why, I mean, I give Grant Morrison a lot more leeway than, you know, an up-and-coming writer. I just do.
Dude, if Grant Morrison comes out with something, I'm reading it regardless.
Right. And it doesn't really matter what people say or... Another thing that's pretty dumb nowadays is, oh, so-and-so has been optioned for a movie or a TV series. Well, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Great. Like, hey, way to go. Like, hearing that these writers, like even Mark Miller, like hearing that everything that they touch is going to be optioned for a TV or a movie, that doesn't draw me to want to read it anymore. His track record or her track record will draw me to read it more. But I'm there for the story. I'm not there for, oh my God, they're creating another IP that's going to be on Netflix or wherever. I don't care about that.
Yeah, and I don't really care about some of the stuff he's doing now anyway. Like, I think The Magic Order is really good. But, like, what was that, Sharky the Bounty Hunter or whatever? I was like, whatever. I don't care.
But the concept, of not Sharky, the other one, Magic Order,
yes,
that was a great concept.
Right.
Which, guess what? If issue 1 didn't grab me, at least conceptually in hearing him talk about it and his track record with, you know, there's been ups and downs for me personally, But still, just to hear that concept, that would make me want to at least give it another issue, if not an arc.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know I love Scott Snyder. And this came up, we were recording the Batpod last night. I love Snyder's work, like his personal work. And I love his detective run.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to like the stuff he's doing now at DC, I really don't care, right? Like the Justice League stuff, like it's fine, but like it doesn't interest me that much.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy it. The art's been great on it, but I'm just like, mm-hmm. I don't really care. And it's not a Justice League thing, because I love Justice League books. I don't really care the direction he's taking it in.
Sure.
What was that book? He's doing some Black Label book that I'm enjoying. But then he's like all about this like dark multiverse thing.
And, like, oh, I thought you were going to talk about Witches.
No, I love Witches. Witches is one of my favorite books of all time. I wish he'd quit doing all this bullshit and just do some more Witches. supposedly, there's going to be another volume of Witches coming, shit, I think early next year.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Anyways, but like the dark multiverse stuff, like, I don't care.
Right.
Like, everyone is all about this Batman who laughs, and I read it, and like, I can't even read the comic because Snyder explicitly picked a red font as the Batman who laughs' font. So every time he has dialogue, I can't read it because it's like black on red, and I'm like, no thanks. I'm out.
I've heard you talk about that on the Batpod, and that draws me not to even try to read that comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Because there have been multiple titles that have done the same darn thing, and it's like, why are you doing that? I don't like it. At this point, especially with Capes and Cowls, the iconography using word balloons, and then you put like a little like tiara crown above when Wonder Woman is talking, and a little S in the corner for Superman, and a little bat for Batman above the word balloons. I've seen that done umpteen different titles, and it's like, how is this not the way comic books are approached, especially when it comes to like mainstream DC? Like, don't do it with different colors and different fonts that are really hard to read. And it's shocking that it's so hard for you, especially digitally. That should be the easiest way for that to be read.
And let me tell you, this is the reason why comic books have letterers. And letterers don't get enough credit for the work that they do, but they do really can make or break a comic sometimes. And in regards to the Batman Who Laughs, that is not a letterer choice. It is a choice of the writer to use that font and that color. And that's fine. It's his character. He created it. He's the guy behind it. Cool, whatever. But there's a reason he's not a letterer. And there's a reason the book has a letterer. And I don't want to go into like color theory, for example, but I know that there's comic book professionals that for some reason listen to this show sometimes, and I'm sure they can tell you all about color theory, but you never do red because it's basic human psychology. People hate the color red. It means stop. It means stop. So when I see red word balloons, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop reading your goddamn book.
Yeah, I remember, God, what was it? Was it Hellboy that did black word balloons for a character with red letters?
Mm-hmm.
And the red didn't even, like, the black bled into the red space too much that you couldn't even read it. It was completely garbled.
Yep.
And you're not even dealing with that. You're dealing with digital. Like, that doesn't even have page bleed in.
Exactly.
And yet it's terrible.
Exactly. Well, it doesn't have to have the bleed in. It's just the way your brain senses the color contrast.
Yeah, it's like I don't need eye strain trying to like read your work. That's so frustrating.
Yep. And the only reason I had to read it because we talked about it on the damn show. Otherwise, I wouldn't have read it.
Well, I brought this up because of Halloween-y. Oh, and just to answer about the pros. I always give a book 100 pages. That's usually my stationary like mark right there.
That's pretty fair.
But I'm reading Halloween-y stuff, and I just wrapped up, and I don't know how long it's been since you read Black Monday Murder.
Ooh, long time.
Yeah, with Jonathan Hickman. I read the first volume of that, which is 4 issues. Fantastic iconography. fantastic world building, great characters, great story, completely had me engrossed. I finished issue 4, and I have them individually, not like in the digital trade. So I finished issue 4. And it was one of those blink moments that it didn't feel like it was the end of a story arc, but yet it didn't leave me on a cliffhanger or to be continued, nothing. It just ended to the point where I went back into Comixology to be like, was there 5 issues for the first arc and I only bought 4? What the heck's going on here? And I went through that for about, I don't know, 5 minutes. And sure enough, no, volume 1 is just 4 issues. And I don't know if there was a long break between 4 and 5, but it did not feel like a stopping point. And it frustrated me so much, even though, like I said, it is, for me, it was great Hickman. It was, this is what I come in for. And Tom Coker's art was great. Letters was great. Color was great. But the way it ended was almost, not like a whimper, but just a head scratcher.
Well, you know why that is.
Why?
Because when the brake truck backs up, you gotta go do something else.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem with some of these guys. And no offense to any of these writers. Or, you know, any writers listening. But
or artists.
Or artists. Anybody working in any medium. Podcasters, even. Mm. But sometimes, like, I mean, you can make a good living doing your own stuff, right? It might take a while, but you can do it. However, if you do work for, like, Marvel or DC, and if you carve a niche out for yourself, then you're going to get that cash money, right? I mean, we talked about Snyder. You're talking about Hickman. Hickman's doing amazing. Like, best book of the year, the X-Men stuff that Hickman's doing, holy shit. You need to read that whenever it comes out on trade. Bendis to an extent. I think Bendis maybe got a little tired of being at Marvel, so that's why he went to DC.
Sure.
Brink's truck excluded. But same with that. Or
I can't blame any creator going where the paycheck is.
Sure.
I get that. But the end of issue 4, like, I just wanted something there that's like, the story will resume in 5. Like, just, like, to end a trade the way it ended was so, like, I would have been, if issue 5 never came out and I finished 4, I would feel like, oh my god, did he just pull a Warren Ellis of a series that will never be ended?
Tonight, a new...
I don't know I don't know the timeline. I don't know when 5 actually came out. Did it come out 3 months later? I don't know. Or did it come out 1.5 years later? I have no clue.
Sure.
But just for that... for those 4 to be collected, maybe it was Image like, we got to get this out. We need money. We need to recoup the investment. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, as a reader, it was like jarring that it was just like, what the heck just happened here?
Well, I don't think that's it, because there is no money investment at Image. Image is just distribution.
But you know what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. I mean, if you were talking Aftershock or Vault or something, maybe. But Image doesn't put any money into the books.
It's just... it was a head scratcher. And then I went right from that into Bedlam. And that Bedlam is the thing that inspired me to ask you the original question. Because I feel like after 4 issues, Jiminy Christmas, when is it good enough for me to be like, yep, I'm punching my ticket and I'm moving? Like, it's left such a poor taste in my mouth that at this point, I feel like, well, I have like 10 more titles I have to read for Halloween-y. And it left such a poor taste in my mouth that I'm just like, yeah, maybe Halloween-y's over. Maybe it's time to go back to my regular reading where I'm like, fun and enjoyment.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's bad. See, you're better than me, though. I haven't even started my Halloween-y reading.
I'm trying to finish it before, what, 4 weeks?
Yep. I mean, yeah, it's October 2nd as we record this. Don't tell the listeners. It's October 9th, I mean. We're recording in real time.
Right.
Usually, like, I'll start doing horror movies, like, the last week of September.
Yeah.
And I haven't even started doing that.
Well, you're doing a wackadoodle work schedule, so no surprise.
Oh, I'm doing a lot of stuff. It's not just a wackadoodle schedule.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah.
I just wanted to ask when do you bail on something? And the problem is this isn't a library book. I bought this. So it's like, dang it, then I just feel like I'm flushing money down the drain. But also there's a point where it's like, man, reading went from being uber fun, something to look forward to like a trudge. And it should never be a trudge.
No, it should never be that way.
Maybe the title just isn't for me.
Yep.
Like, it's great that it's for everyone else, but it's just not for me.
Well, I'm surprised that a lot of the stuff you have on your list, because I didn't think you'd read 99% of that stuff.
Well, I am. I'm getting through.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good to expose yourself to new things, Nick.
I'm trying, buddy. Some of it's just a little tougher than most. But like Nailbiter, I finished volume 2.
Oh, that's
great. And I purchased up to volume 5. So wow. I have all those still waiting for me. So I'm planning on, after Bedlam, circling back once I get some Swamp Thing under my belt.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And Nailbiter's good. I was very pleasantly surprised with that book.
Yeah, I like the concept. There is a part, and I don't know how far you got in Nailbiter or how long it's been since you've read Nailbiter. But volume 1 left some really good dangling story points. Mm-hmm. And then volume 2 had a lot more small jump scares. And there was a turning point in number 2 where one guy who went through, 10 issues so far? Mm-hmm. Playing his character one way, and then it was the typical last couple pages of the last issue of that volume where the character does something that's so not that character that it becomes like, what the F? Are you kidding? Come, not everybody's going to be a serial killer. Like, come on!
That's hilarious. Yeah, no, it's good though. It's very good.
It's just like watching something on the WB network. It's like, not everyone has to be good looking. Come on. Put somebody that's at Joe Average in there. Good God.
But then it wouldn't be the CW.
That's true. But
it would be everything else.
But with a town that bores serial killers, not everybody in that town has to be a serial killer.
That's true.
Yeah. And it just seems like that's sort of... It's a layup. It's an easy layup for all of a sudden, like, oh, this sweet old lady. Oh, wait, there's, you know, sever heads in her basement. Like, come on. Can't you just be a sweet old lady? Good golly.
Yeah. This is only, like, tangentially related, and then we can go swing back around.
No, I'm done.
But my wife sent me a text today, and she's like, do we have life insurance? Which is a very odd question to ask. And she quickly caught herself because
I guess better than asking, texting you, I've just increased your life insurance. I'll see you when you get home, honey. Wink, wink. What?
Well, so we do the health and life and dental and all that crap through my work.
Sure.
Because we have great insurance and it's, it's expensive, but it's not as expensive as other places. Mm-hmm. And definitely cheaper than hers. So even though, like, you have to pay extra to have your spouse, I never understood that. Why do you have to pay extra to have your spouse on your fucking health insurance?
What are you talking about? They have to take out claims for two people instead of one person.
Yeah, but if you put kids on there, you don't pay extra.
Well, I think that's just them being nice and covering kids.
And then, like... A family is just two adults and a kid. If you have 30 kids, it's the same as two adults and one kid.
I know. That part, that's weird. I'll agree with you there.
Anyways, so she sent me this text. And then quickly responds, I'm not trying to kill you or anything. I'm just curious. Because I'm listening to these podcasts and they all have health insurance.
Baby, please, when you're driving home, make sure you test your brakes really hard a couple times before getting home. Love you. Bye.
Yeah. So I went on to explain our life insurance benefits. I've got everybody covered, me, my wife, and the kids.
Good.
And, but it's not $1 million. And, I told her how much it was. She's like, oh, well, that's not a million. And I said, no, what do you need $1 million for?
Right, and who gets $1 million life? And as you're like, were you watching Throw Mama from the Train? What the hell?
Well, it's not like somebody died. Here's a prize of $1 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the life insurance money is to like cover costs and like to get you by for a couple of years when you're, you know, trying to figure out what to do with, you know, not having the extra income or whatever.
Yeah, we even take out extra life insurance. So if one of us passes, we get more than just the cost of a funeral and if there was any medical issues.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. I mean, our life insurance policy is good. Don't get me wrong. It's not like, here's 10 grand to pay for the funeral. It's a lot more money than that.
Sure.
Right. Anyways, so she asked me, and I thought that was kind of weird.
It isn't, Martin.
Well, you know, like my wife only listens to true crime podcasts.
Exactly.
Right? Like all day, every day, and like repeats episodes over and over again because she loves to repeat stuff.
Or it'd be fine if she was like, I'm just curious about the $1 million because Susan, her husband took $1 million out on her. And I was just curious what was, you know, what I would get.
Sure. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when I got home, somehow this led to a conversation, because I was genuinely curious, because I'm not into true crime, so I don't know. Nor do I know anybody that's ever, like, been in one of these documentaries or, like, killed somebody and gone to jail, you know what I mean? Mm. So we got into a conversation, which I thought was interesting. She had just finished – I don't remember what it was. And
dang it, Martin. I like true crime. Come on.
I remember now.
Okay.
So this woman killed her husband.
Oh.
But, like, didn't tell anybody, obviously. She faked it that he had left her. And so, like, for months after she killed him, she would text, like, her kids from his phone.
Oh, nice.
Right? And be like, hey, like, I left your mom. Like, I'm moving to Texas. Don't try to contact me, blah, blah, blah. Like, stuff like that.
The beaches in Mexico are beautiful.
yes. And so this happened for months. And then one day, her son came over with like his friend or something, and they were looking for something in the attic, and they found a bag with like pieces of the dad.
Whoa!
And he took a picture of it and texted it to his mom. He's like, "What the fuck is this?"
Oh my god! And she was at work.
I guess I don't know where she was.
Holy Christ!
And she's like, "All right. You got me. I killed your dad. Just call the police."
What?
and so it came into trial that, like, I mean, this is probably, like, BS defense excuse, you know what I mean? But, like, he had been abusive or whatever, and, like, that's the reason that she ended up killing him, but whatever.
Sheesh.
And so my question was, why did she kill the guy? And my wife's like, well, because he was abusive to her for like 25 years. And my first thought is, well, if he's abusing her, why doesn't she leave? Like, why doesn't she go to Texas and text her kids? Like, hey, I left your dad and moving to Texas. Instead of like, let me just kill this guy. And then chop his body up into pieces and hide him all over the house.
Yeah, why wouldn't she bury it or get rid of it?
Yeah.
Some way. Wow, that's wild. It's wild how the brain works.
Right? But, like, I couldn't wrap my head around it, Nick. So we had, like, a 10-15 minute conversation. And, like, I don't know. Like, as much true crime as she listened to, I expected, like, a really good answer. But, like, none of the answers I got were good. Like, oh, this guy was abusive, or like, oh, like, he had, like, this mental illness or that mental illness, or like, oh, she was abused when she was a kid. I mean...
Sounds like you're not going to be... It sounds like Heather is not looking for a divorce from you, if, God forbid, things ended.
True.
As she pats you on the shoulder and like, don't worry, honey, we'll never get divorced.
Dun, dun, dun.
What? What does that mean? What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That's great.
I just got a little piece of honeycomb in there.
Nice. I was watching an old, speaking of true crime, I was watching an old 2020, and it was about a guy who got a job up north and moved from, like, had to leave his wife while the wife tried to sell the house. And I think she was down in, like, South Carolina, and he went to, like, Maine, where this marketing in at a university job. And his boss and him, they fell in love, and they were texting, and, like, it became very quickly, like, hot and steamy. And all of a sudden, and on 2020, Elizabeth Vargas, she's interviewing the husband, and he's going through, like, oh, you know, the wife would drop, like, weird, like, things here and there, stuff that she wouldn't know about. And she would know details that there's no way she would know. Well, as this two-hour Unsolved Mystery 2020 episode rolls on, you find out that the wife became paranoid with him, being that she had to be there, like, be at their old house for, I think it was 4 months, trying to get that house sold. And she felt like he was getting more and more distant from her. So, you know, wifely intuition sort of put two and two together and figured out that he must have a side piece. So whenever he would go back to see her, she took his phone, cloned it so she could listen in and record any and all conversations. Also, whenever he texted his boss, the woman that he was in love with then, that she would see all of the text. Anything that was left on his phone, she would get, you know, it was cloned, so she would get a copy of it. And then she started to, whenever he came home, she would sew little microphones into his suits. And she hid a microphone in his car. She hid a GPS in his car, so then she would just track. And then, well, finally, when she moved to the university after selling the house, and, you know, the husband, he tried to be honest with her, and they tried to work things out, and he just kept going back to this new love because they had this crazy connection. And towards the end, like, the wife, of course she felt spurned, and they went to, like, marriage counseling, and he's telling Elizabeth Vargas, like, it just didn't work. It just, she became more and more paranoid. Every time she said she was trying to work on things, she just wasn't. And then he figured out towards the end that, you know, all about this cloned phone, all about, like, he said that he went, like, he spilled something on one of his suit jackets and he went to scrape it off and he felt like something within the lapel. And then he opened up his lapel and found the microphone. And then he went through all of his other jackets and they all had similar microphones in them. So, you know, he would confront her and she would be, you know, she'd feel horrible and she's like, oh, no, 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 it won't happen again. Oh, I'm so sorry. And, well, push comes to shove. She went to the new woman before, because the husband and wife, they were talking about separating. And she went to the new woman's house, waited for her to get home, knew where she was because she also put a GPS unit in her car. And before the woman pulled up into her driveway, the wife texts the husband something to the effect of, like, hope you're happy in your life, hope you will never have happiness, you know, good luck with your life. And then all of a sudden, I guess a neighbor, 911, but, like, phoned up him, like, an hour, 2 hours after that text, saying that something happened in your girlfriend's house. You should get over there. And sure enough, it was a murder-suicide that the wife did and left, like, all of her, like, she was recording herself talking about, like, where their cars are, where they're meeting, watching these texts, and she's recording, like, an audio diary of the whole thing. It was just whack-a-doodle.
That's crazy.
It is so strange to see how, like, a fractured psyche thinks is logic, and this is how, you know, this is how I should approach things, and yet it is just complete wackadoodle. Yeah. So that was the only reason Elizabeth Vargas wasn't talking to anyone else that was part of that story, because everyone was not around anymore, except for this guy.
Sounds like those people need to drop some mushrooms and come hang out.
Wow, it was crazy, dude. Mm. Correctly.
Yeah, that's that reminds me of some other one that my wife was telling me about. I know what it was, because I listened to the last podcast on the left. And they've been doing like a multi-part series on Mormonism. I'm familiar with Mormonism, but like this is like a long series. They just finished part 5, I think.
Wow.
And each episode is like 2 hours. Jeez. And some of the, I mean, if you're a Mormon listening to this, my apologies for what I'm about to say. But I'm not going to regret it. Them people are crazy. And so I started having a discussion with my wife, and she started telling me the story about this lady that met her husband through this like Mormon singles thing, right? Like, ooh, through the church.
Yeah.
And not like LDS, like just straight up Mormons, right? So they don't have to wear like the old timey dresses or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they got married and they had some kids, and apparently like he was weird and like kind of verbally abusive and whatever. But like shit started going crazy, because like his dad was obsessed with her and like filming her, and like he was convinced that like she was totally in love with him. Like he would just tape himself like watching her through the blinds and like all this stuff. Anyway, the husband killed her, and then when the cops went to get him, he ended up killing himself and his kids. He burnt the house down with them in it. But like his brother was in jail for something I can't remember. They never got the dad for anything related to the murder, but he went to jail for like child pornography. And, like a lot of this is being told through like this woman's husband's sister, who's like apparently the only normal person in this family. Cause like, I don't remember what happened to the mom, but like the dad was fucking crazy, and like all the siblings are crazy. And she even like got the police to allow her to wire herself and go to like a family dinner, and she like started grilling the guy about like his wife's death.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was weird.
Wow. I hate to say it, if you were to write that as a book or a comic, people would be like, come on, there's no way that's real.
Listen,
this comic is so unrealistic, and it's like, no, this is what really happened.
Look, at some point in the last, like, 50, 60 years, there's some, like, breach in the universe. Because, like, all the shit in real life, if you read it in a book or something 50 years ago, you'd be like, nah, that's a fucking shitty story. That's some bullshit. That would never happen. However, every day we live in this bullshit story, so it definitely happens.
True.
I blame Grant Morrison and his chaos magic for making all this shit come true.
Don't blame him. It's wonderful that he does.
It's wonderful that he does. But yeah. Somebody that went to the Grant Morrison con was like, I'm going to try this chaos magic shit. And they just like unleashed the hounds.
They mispronounced all the phrases, and then all of a sudden hellhounds came up from the earth.
Uh-huh.
Oops.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Crazy.
Anyways, it is crazy. You're right. You are so right. Fun. My wife made something else come true the other day. I can't remember what it was.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, see, you don't fucking believe, but I'm telling you, I'm going to buy a lottery ticket, and you better, like, hey, yeah. I don't even know what I'd do if I won the lottery, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. There's nothing that I want. Like, what would I buy? Like, more Batman stuff?
All right. Yeah, because Amazon just today has that exclusive Batman statue.
Oh, did you see my tweet about it?
I did.
Yeah. I went on there for, I can't remember what it was. And, oh, I know how it was. So, TweetDeck was down today.
Oh, no.
Well, it wasn't down. It was working, but, like, it was unusable. Because, like, with TweetDeck, if you have more than one account, you can connect it, and so you can see all your accounts on, like, one page.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like columns.
Yep.
And you can do, like, filters and lists mm-hmm. and stuff like that and see them all at once as opposed to using Twitter, which sucks. Well, TweetDeck was down, so I had to use Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally forgot that you can bookmark tweets on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into the bookmarks tab and started seeing, like, what the F was on there. And I found this one tweet, and I was like, it was from, like, last year, I think, about this Batman action figure, the Yamaguchi Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's the designer. And so I went on the hunt for this action figure because the pose that I saw on this tweet, I was like, well, that's awesome. And so I went on Amazon and I bought one because they have more poses on there and it looks effing awesome. It is very expensive for an action figure. But since I can pose it however I want, I don't give two rat's asses.
Nice.
And it is awesome. You saw the picture, right?
Oh, yeah.
How cool is that?
It's beautiful.
The cape comes in pieces.
Yeah, so it looked like male-female, like, joints attached together.
So you can pose the cape however you want. And then the figure itself has, like, a ton of articulation.
Nice.
So you can basically do whatever you want with it. Nice. So I got it. And then, of course, Amazon had to recommend to me
the
Amazon exclusive black and gold Batman statue. This is a statue, not an action figure.
Sure.
And I was like, had you recommended this to me before the action figure, I may have bought this instead.
Dang it.
Because it's beautiful.
Who's it based on? What artist?
I think it's from one of the movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's nice.
Yeah, that is really good.
The utility belt and the logo are in gold. Mm.
Yes. Not just your wife willed something to happen, but after last week's Infinite Crisis on Infinite Earth, I think you, Martin Ferretti, willed something to happen.
Oh.
Did you see my tweet that I threw out on the DC number ones sale?
Digital sale that was happening.
Had volume one of Crisis on Infinite Earth Compendium Omnibus for $9.99 instead of $50.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Crisis on Multiple Earths, the collection of the Justice League, Justice Society of America. Crossover, annual crossover event, the very first volume of that is $5.
Dang.
And we were just talking about that, and I'm like, hey, I'll keep an eye out. And then sure enough, you willed it into existence. A sale happens 4 days later.
Is this going to still be on by the time the listeners listen to this episode?
I couldn't tell you.
I would think so, right? Because the reason it's on sale is because the CW shows premiere this week, and I think in a couple weeks they're doing Crisis as a crossover.
Dude, I am on blackout on so many things, but the amount of Superman costumes with the multiple Supermen,
mm-hmm.
That will never be blacked out. I want to see all of those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I will tell you right now.
Go ahead.
Oh, it is Monday the 7th.
Mm.
So it will be, by the time this goes up on the 9th, it will be over.
Sorry, folks.
Sorry, too late.
Should have listened in the past.
Well, they heard this week's episode, so guess what? If they went and tried to buy it, it would already be on sale.
Very true. I saw some idiots complaining about Brandon Routh's Superman costume.
Oh my god, come on.
Because they've really? Obviously never read a comic in their life.
Thank you. Amen.
Yep. It does have me wanting to reread Kingdom Come, though. I haven't read that in a very long time.
Same here. I think I'm waiting. Isn't there a real pimped out version of it?
Oh, is there?
I've been looking for that to be on sale, because I want to see all the making of, all the back matter.
Are we going
to
play Martin buy something on the air again? Let's see. Kingdom Come. These just look like, Absolute Kingdom Come.
There you go.
That's from last year.
Well, the one I was talking about was the 20th Anniversary Deluxe.
Ah.
Which came out 3 years ago, but that's the one I want. Because it has 100 pages of sketches, annotations, and other extras.
You can read that for free on Comixology Unlimited.
Yeah, so get on that, kid.
Oh, is it on my list? Hang on, I had Comixology up earlier.
I don't know.
Surely it's on my list.
But since you have to go there to get the omnibus, you can just put that right on your list.
Let's see if it's on my list. Kingdom Come. Yes, it is.
There you go.
Very good.
And why wouldn't you want to flip through those 100 pages? What the heck? Mr. Wade or Mr. Ross might have something very interesting to say about it.
This is not, I don't think it's the anniversary edition, though.
What do you mean? It says unlimited for the anniversary edition right there. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, but I'm on Comixology right now, and I don't think that's the oh, here it is.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's a different version.
Ha ha! Yes, yes.
Okay.
Get in there.
All right.
Put it on.
Got it.
Good, good, good. That makes me happy.
All right, very good. See,
but also buy that compendium too while you're at it, because that's, oh my god, that's so good.
I like
just the
All Stars,
the 10 issues of All Star Squadron alone. Oh, so good. So good.
What's happening right now, Amazon? Am I not signed in? What's happening?
Do they not love you?
It's out of stock.
Oh, bam.
In stock October 9th. If I
what
order
is this?
It, the Absolute Kingdom Come.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, that would be pretty big. Pretty with the nice large pages.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
See, if I order this now, it won't be here until the 11th, and I'll be in Missouri for Ronnie's wedding. So I will order it on the 10th, so it's here when I get back home.
Unless it's, is it on sale on sale?
$55.
How much off?
44%.
Ooh, that is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, the Absolutes are $100.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. What's the dimensions on this?
Oh, so nice.
8.9 by 1.6 by 14.5. Yeah, it's a little oversized. 4.8 pounds! Jesus!
Mm-hmm.
Alright, sure, why not? Why is there an Absolute Killing Joke? That book's like 10 pages.
I was gonna say, how many people, like, how much more content are they gonna add to that to bulk it up? Or will it just be, like, a thin amount? Oh, just to let you know, in stock trades, 42% off.
All right, here we go.
So you got a better deal on the Amazon-y.
It's 152 pages.
Sheesh.
Collects Batman Black and White number 4, Batman Killing Joke, Countdown 31, cover story, the DC Comics art of Brian Boland, Joker Last Laugh number 1, and number 6, Joker's Greatest Stories Ever Told, Who's Who. Yeah, I'm not getting that.
No.
That's a dumb collection. That's like, yeah. Hey, let's just throw like random Joker stuff in here.
We know this is what you love, so get in here, guys.
We know you're here just for this 10-page story. Ooh, yeah. Absolute Flashpoint, though. Hello.
Uh-oh.
That's only $47.
Hmm.
Is that the cover, though? I don't like that cover. All right, I'm going to put this on my list.
Uh-oh.
Yes. It's too bad. I tried to buy stuff, Nick. It just didn't work.
That's okay. I mean, at least you tried.
Yes. Absolute Black Mirror.
Hmm. That would be a good one.
Let's see what's included. Surely not. All right, I'm not getting that either. I'm trying, Nick.
Boy, Absolute Flashpoint's only 270 pages. What the hell?
Yeah, that seems a little weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems weird. The Absolute Black Mirror just has the Black Mirror story. How many pages is this? All right, something's wrong here.
Uh-oh.
This says it's 320 pages.
Jeez.
But here's the description. This Absolute Edition collects Detective Comics 871 to 881, which is the Black Mirror story, and other bonus material. So you have 260 pages of bonus material?
Wow.
Surely not.
What could that possibly be?
I don't know.
I do love the Absolute Quarter Owls. I will say that.
Ooh, that sounds tempting.
That's a pretty cover.
I don't know if I would get that, though, because I have that in singles and in trade. Because I'm a
And for another $10, you could just get the complete omnibus.
That's a nice cover, though.
It is a nice cover.
You say complete omnibus?
Yeah.
Mm. Absolute Long Halloween. See, never mind. Never mind. I'm getting off of here.
I'm not getting off of here because I just tripped on Batman by Grant Morrison, Omnibus Volume 1.
I already own that. Thank you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you sweet bastard. Dang. That's why I try not to go on these things, because now all of a sudden this is what I want. Look at that. Beautiful.
Yeah, buddy. It's an awesome cover.
It is an awesome cover.
Yeah, I mean, Batman and Grant Morrison together. Why would I not own that?
Yeah, it's peanut butter and jelly. It's
peanut butter jelly time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you're right. You are correct.
Love it. Love it.
Anyways.
So, what should I do? What's my conundrum? Going back to my conundrum, do I stop reading the Halloween-y reading?
So, what do you have left? I know you said Nailbiter.
I have three collections of Nailbiter. I have two collections of Swamp Thing, three collections of Swamp Thing, and Jiminy Christmas. What else? I think that might be it.
Nah, you might as well finish, dude.
I know, but it's, I'm telling you, it took the wind right out of my sail, dude.
That's the problem. That's the problem. You continued reading stuff that maybe you shouldn't have continued reading.
I know. I should have bailed on it earlier. That's my problem. Tried to push through. But instead of just being a dull toothache, it incensed me so much that now I want to stop my little... And I'm only reading Halloween-y stuff for another 3 weeks. It's just tough because you're staring at the beautiful Crisis on Infinite Earths, and you know that's going to be good.
All right. How about this? I got it.
Oh, sorry. I take it back. I also have three volumes of Rumble, and then I have, and I'm never going to finish them all, but I put them there just to, like, pad up my reading if I needed it. But I have, like, 9 volumes of Constantine Hellblazer.
Mm. Do you want to stay in the Halloween-y theme?
Well, that's why I have all that stuff there, yes.
Because what I would do is, I think right now you need, like, a reset.
Mm.
So if... Nick Wetmore.
Hmm. Yes.
Let's play a game.
Yeah. Ooh, I like a game.
If you met Martin Ferretti, who has never read a comic in his life.
Oh, okay.
And said Martin Ferretti came to you and said, Nicholas Tiberius Wetmore, I want to read comics, but I don't know anything about comics.
Uh-oh.
What is your favorite story to get me into comics?
Good golly.
This is not like the most, you know, newbie friendly story, nothing like that. Like if you're down and you're like, man, I hate my life right now. But you know what will pick me up? Reading X.
Oh, I see where you're going. I think right now, that title would be Winter Soldier.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular bit of Winter Soldier?
Oh, it would just be the very beginning.
Okay. So what you should do is go read that.
Is that what you're talking about, the reset?
Yeah.
Reset the passion?
Reset the passion. Go read that one book you really love.
You know what also sort of bummed me out? Because I came off of Moonshine Volume 1. And it's hard. Anything coming off of a Brian Azzarello Risa book, it's going to be hard to top that. Mm. So you're already coming behind the eight ball on that one.
I see what you mean.
I see the recharging of the battery concept. I like that.
You got to go back to Oa and put your ring in the battery.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. See, I'm here to help.
It's like a comfy pair of shoes.
Yes.
You need to put those on every once in a while just to, like, recenter yourself.
Put on your comfy shoes. You put on your banana hammock. Mm-hmm, you get yourself some nice tea. You sit on the comfy couch.
Mm.
And you go read some Winter Soldier.
I like your headspace regarding that because you're right. If I was to, and I was really thinking about it just today, that's sort of where my question originated from, because I kept trying to push through that trade. And I almost started back to my Crisis on Infinite Earths compendium volume 2. Mm-hmm. I almost started back into that. The problem with that, it isn't a comfy sweater. I don't know any of it because it's all new. But to your point, the recentering is because you've read it so much.
Yeah.
That will strike the passion back up. And I like your approach, good friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart. I think I'm going to do that. Tonight I'm going to download my Winter Soldier Volume 1 and let's just read, read the first arc.
That's why I always tell you, whenever I do my comics reading,
mm-hmm.
I always end on a really strong title.
Mm.
And when I organize my reading, not alphabetically, I always pick the book that I know is going to be the best at the end.
I like it. I like it.
See?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do that.
Just like you should never read some bullshit that you don't like. You should always, like, go back and reread stuff you really enjoy just to keep you like, yep, this is why I love comics.
But see, you don't know that it's bullshit. It has a great writer and it has a great artist. How can it be bullshit? But well, guess what? It didn't connect up with me. Yes. That's the problem. There was nothing that connected up with me, and it also has, which is what I'm going to say next is, I know I might be speaking both sides of my mouth. The thing that sort of drives me crazy is an unreliable narrator.
Mm, I love that stuff.
And this is coming from a guy who loves the Joker, loves Moon Knight, loves Two-Face. I like a little crazy in my read. But guess what? It has to be done really well, or at least in my head, what I'm looking for really well. And this one just wasn't. Mm. It was unreliable. That did not feel like it didn't connect up with me enough to be like, oh, I see where this is going.
Sure.
Because the very next page looks like it's set in reality, but you don't know if it's set in reality. You have no idea if any of this is in reality. And that's the part that, like, guess what? They pump the brakes with Moon Knight, Joker, people that have that psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
Enough for me. Maybe it's in a controlled environment. Maybe they just put the brakes on a little bit more than in this one title.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. It's just not my cup of tea.
Fair enough.
But I like your approach. And you know what? I'm downloading it right now. But can I, going back to my little list of books that I still have to read, once I get done with Winter Soldier, what should I go on to?
Well, Nailbiter.
Okay.
Yeah, just finish all that right. Up.
I don't know.
I will not have gotten as far as you. I only finished volume 2 of Nailbiter.
Oh, shoot.
But it's very good.
It is.
And you know it's good, so just continue it.
It was very entertaining, and it was quick-paced. Even the Bendis issue was pretty funny.
Mm. You know what I'm reading right now?
Do tell.
I am reading, speaking of the master, Nameless.
Ooh.
It's Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham.
Yes, it is.
It is so good.
That is some trippy stuff.
It's great.
Uh-huh.
It's great. I love the page layouts. It's so
good. I read that last year, and that did not disappoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, my God. Bravo. Mm-hmm. Oh, and can I also, since we're throwing out a little bit here and there, did you ever read Surgeon X?
No.
It's an Image comic.
Nope.
I tripped on this comic. I don't know how, but, oh, I know how. I was looking at some Grendel.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, this Surgeon X appeared, like, if other customers liked, you know, XYZ. And one of them was Surgeon X. And I never recognized the cover, and the cover was sort of compelling to me. And I looked at it last week, like, and I almost bought it at full price, but I'm like, you know what? It's Halloween-y. I'm not going to buy this because this is not a horror book. But the reason that it attracted me, it had John Watkiss doing the art.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he did some stunning, like, Sandman. Yeah. I know him the most from Sandman Mystery Theater.
Yeah,
I loved his art in Sandman Mystery Theater.
I think didn't he die last year?
I don't know, did he?
I don't know, let me look it up.
That'd be a shame, because like I said, I didn't even know this Surgeon X, and then all of a sudden I saw his last name on the cover, and I'm like, what the heck? Oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah, he died January 20th, 2017.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Pour a little bit out from my pimp chalice. Dang, that stinks.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho, had like all of a sudden that New York Comic Con Image sale popped up this week. And sure enough, there's Surgeon X. So I'm like, hell yeah, this is like kismet. I think I willed that into existence. Bring it on.
I have not read this. I think I own the first issue.
Oh, okay. Doesn't the like penciled cover look really cool?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It reminds me of Jiminy Christmas. Who I'm blanking on the cover artist. Shoot. Oh, I forget the artist's name now. Darn it. But anywho, I was shocked. I was like, John Watkiss is still doing freaking artwork. Oh my God, that's excellent.
I'm trying to find out if I own this.
Well, pull up your database, son.
I do own them.
Nice.
But I've never read them.
What?
Nope. I'll read these after I finish Nameless.
Yeah, you finish Nameless. That's important. That's important stuff right there.
Yeah. I mean, I've read Nameless before, but I love it.
Oh, so good.
Surgeon X. Why didn't I read this? This is like totally up my alley.
I know. It looks so good.
Huh.
So thank you, Image New York Comic Con sale. That was a great purchase.
It's very good. Oh, yeah, that's this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it just happened last weekend. That's what I
mean. Oh, yeah, it was great. Let's talk about the news and headlines later. Maybe later.
We can save that till next week. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, let's talk about the news and headlines maybe in a couple weeks.
Yes, yes. I'm sure I know very many exciting things happened at New York Comic Con.
Oh, and then that DC news.
Oh, man.
Well, spoilers. I don't want to ruin it.
Unbelievable.
And then what Marvel said right there. Yikes. Oh, forget about it. On Friday? Aye.
Oh, man. I'm so glad we were there.
Oh, man. We had our Nerdy Legion crack report staff giving us the 411.
Aaron Bell's going to be there. I mean, Aaron Bell was there.
He loved it.
He said it was great.
Yeah, didn't have a negative thing to say at all. He said no lines. No lines.
No lines ever at New York Comic Con.
Crazy.
Can you believe it?
But it was sold out. They just must have expanded the placement of everything. The aisles must have been wider this year.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah. Hey, were you running late tonight?
Nope.
Nerdy Legion investigated reporting featuring Nick Wetmore. I'm sorry, Martin. You were running late today, possibly because you were in attendance of the Microsoft conference that happened today.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
You mean last week?
Yes, of course, last week.
Yes, of course, last week. No, but I heard all about it. It looks nice.
My wife, I told her when it was happening. I looked up from my work that I was doing, and I'm like, hey, there's a Microsoft conference happening live right now. And she gave me the meanest. I mean, it was like looking at Dwayne The Rock Johnson as The Rock from WWE. She gave me the people's eyebrow and then the big ass smirk on her face. And she was just like, what's that going to be about? I was like, wow, shots fired. Okay.
Yeah, that, I mean, the Surface is nice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to knock it, but I don't use Microsoft products. So there you go.
Go ahead and knock it. Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to knock it. It's nice. It's a nice piece of hardware. Nice it'll piece. It'll be a nicer piece of hardware if it runs Linux. That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying.
That's all I'm saying.
I hear you.
That's all I'm saying. I don't use Microsoft products. I don't use Microsoft. I don't use Google. I don't use Facebook. I don't use none of that shit.
I know.
Hipster for me all the way.
Yes.
But you know, it lets me do whatever I want to do.
Right, you're free. You're free balling.
I'm free balling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that the episode title?
Sure.
Yes, unreal. That's got to be a record. That only took like an hour and a half.
Well, last, the brand new episode that you posted, didn't know where the hell you came up with that title. And then I was listening to the episode, and I'm like, holy Christ, we hit that title name in the first 3 minutes of the episode.
Did we? Oh, because we were talking about Howard the Duck.
We were talking about Ricardo Montalban.
That's right.
There you go. Oh, my God. Like, you with those notes and titles. Holy Christ, you missed your calling, son.
Look, let me tell you. I am a professional note taker. Obviously. You see my show notes for Bat Pod?
Oh, yeah. You are the professional note taker. When you do shorthand, you really do shorthand.
I sent it to Bill and Jay when we were recording. And Bill's like, you didn't even spell Detective Comics out. why would I do that? And you saw? Did you see what the file is called? It's called BP for BatPod. Listen, people think like I make this shit up. None of this is made up. This Great. Is all 100% true.
Yep,
100%. I do play a character on this podcast, though.
That's all right.
Yes, if you say so. Well, I love it. So I watched a couple things, Nick.
Yeah, hit me with them.
So I finished watching The Physics of Time on The Great Courses. Fascinating. Great stuff.
Mm, mm.
Great stuff. I also watched a Netflix original movie called, I'm going to get the name wrong, In the Shadow of the Moon.
Hmm.
Yes, In the Shadow of the Moon, which I was very confused because I started watching it the other night and I fell asleep on the couch. And I try to go back to Netflix, and the interface for Netflix is different depending where you're watching it.
Oh, yeah.
So I was watching this movie on my TV, and I decided to continue it on my computer. And for some reason, when I hit Netflix Originals, it doesn't show up.
Hmm.
I don't know why, but when I searched it, I found it, and I picked up. And I was very confused because I thought it was a TV show.
Hmm.
It should have been, but it was a movie. It is a little longer. I think it's like 2 hours and some change. But it's really interesting. It starts in the year 2024, and then it goes back to 1988. And then it jumps to 1996, and then to 2015 or 2016. And the time jump has to do with something relating to the title. It has to do with something with the moon. I don't really like the explanation, but whatever. The movie is actually pretty interesting.
Mm.
And the main character is cool because you see him through like 27 years, right? Because like I said, the movie starts in 88 or whatever, 30 something years. And him trying to solve this puzzle in reverse. Even though it's not a reverse. Because, like, his character moves forward in time, right? Because you see him in 88, then in 96, then in 2015. But the mystery is in the future, in the year 2024.
Huh.
So he gets bits and pieces of the mystery every 9 years, but the time traveler is traveling backwards in time, not like jumping at random bits. So, like, she's from 2024. Her first jump is to 2015. Her second jump is to 96. Her third jump is to 88. But when you watch the movie, you're watching 88, 96, 2015, 2024. So it's really interesting the way that they played around with time a little bit in this. And yes, it is a time travel thing. But it's not like timey-wimey. It's a detective story. And I really enjoyed it. It's got Michael C. Hall is in it. He starts off as a... Wait, Michael C. Hall? That's Dexter, right? Yeah, Michael C. Hall.
Yeah.
Okay. He starts off as a detective and then ends up being captain. The main character starts off as a beat cop and becomes a detective, and then you see that he's not working for the police anymore. It's really well done. Good cast. Really enjoyed it, so I recommend it.
Oh, very good. How did you get turned on to it? Did it just appear in your timeline, like, recommending it?
I saw the trailer on one of those movie trailer channels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It popped up. And I was like,
did you know the director or writer of it?
I'm trying to think. Nope. Doesn't sound familiar. David Sington and Christopher Riley.
No.
No, I didn't think so.
No, not familiar.
So yeah. It's on Netflix, it's free, so go watch it.
Nice.
Well, I wonder what they've done. Maybe we should go to Greg Weidman. I don't know, man. I don't
What's
know.
The title of the movie again for
In the
listener?
Shadow of the Moon.
Okay. Alright.
Did you see the Birds of Prey trailer?
I did.
Give me some thoughts, Nick.
What do you need to know from me?
How'd you feel about it?
I love to see some Rosie Perez.
As Montoya, yes.
Is that who she's playing?
Yep.
I couldn't tell.
Renee Montoya.
Oh, nice. Even better.
Yep.
Even better. Yeah, I thought the casting looked interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You didn't seem too convinced.
No, not at all. I'm eagerly... excited about it, but I was excited for the first one too. I like Ewan McGregor, that he looks fun. I like that Ali Wong's gonna be in it. She's always fun. I think a lot of the cast look, I'm pretty excited for this compared to Suicide Squad, let's put it that way.
Really?
Yeah. I think this is gonna be fun.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I like the colors. I like the look. I like the hyenas.
Yeah, the color palette's really, really nice.
I dug that.
It's like neon, but like kind of dull at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very good. There's a whole lot of Harley in that trailer, which I understand.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, she's the bank account right there.
Yeah, but I want to see the rest of the cast.
Yeah.
First time. Orphan is appearing on anything. So I want to see more Orphan. I hope Orphan plays a big part of the movie.
Interesting.
Because I love Orphan. Yeah, we'll see. It looks good.
Yeah.
What's her name? Margot Robbie? Her Jessica Rabbit impression? Pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
I was like, huh?
Full-on Marilyn Monroe, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, full-on Marilyn Monroe. And then I'm curious about Ewan McGregor, because he plays Black Mask.
And I love me some Black Mask.
Yes, but you don't see him in a Black Mask in the trailer.
That's okay. That would only confuse Tom Wetmore. So seeing somebody like him who is face recognized, it's like you might as well.
Yes. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I'm excited.
When does that come out?
Oh, boy.
Next year, right? Yeah, February 7th.
2020.
Yeah, still a ways off. Joker comes out this weekend.
Yeah. Did you buy your ticket already?
I did not, because I don't know when I'm going to be able to see it.
Oh, no. Really?
Because October 9th is Reagan's 16th birthday.
Ooh, very exciting.
And then on the 10th, I'm going to Missouri, and I won't be back till the 13th. So, yeah.
Sounds like you and the boys might have to go hit up the Joker one of those two days. The heck?
Yes. Hey, guys, forget the wedding. We're going to go see the Joker.
No, not forget the wedding. There's, you know, there might be some downtime. You never know.
Yeah, maybe.
Never know.
Maybe. But I'm on total blackout.
Good, good. Total same blackout. Here.
Yeah,
there were a couple interviews that he did, and I'm like, nope, not watching those. Nope. Get past those.
That's why I'm glad TweetDeck came back up, because now I can mute the Joker.
There you go.
Because on Twitter, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Actually, I better. Can, but it doesn't work.
Not as good, no.
It doesn't work. Like, I've got our president blocked, not blocked, like muted, just his name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any possible variation of his first name, last name, anything relating to president, and it still shows up on my Twitter feed.
I did the same thing, and I hate that Twitter sometimes will do the tweet unavailable, but yet you still see, like, who sent it. But then when I see that, I'm like, oh, what horrible thing did they say? This has got to be salacious. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, no, they're talking about the dumb president. Darn it!
Does that give you FOMO?
Oh, no. Buddy, I don't ever get FOMO. So,
good no for worries. You.
No worries there.
Good for you. My my whole family's got FOMO, and they have NOMO. That's the NOMO is where you can't, like, not have your phone with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I only get that feeling if I'm walking out of, like, the house for a long period of time.
Huh.
Because it is one of those, like, well, what if something happens? It's not that I want to check my phone constantly. It's like I have to be able to be in communication with something if an emergency happens.
Makes sense.
That's the only, like, I never miss my phone. Oh, my God. If I could just, like, put it on silent except for an emergency situation, oh, my God, I would be doing that.
I had to explain to Zoe the wonders of the pager yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. She had a soccer game.
When I bought my bag of pot, I would send my contact 3 and then a pound symbol, and that would let him know exactly how much I needed and when I'm going to pick it up. Thank you.
She thought it was the silliest thing ever. She's like, why don't you just use your phone? Because we didn't have phones!
Our phone looked like a tennis shoe with an antenna coming out of it that you would screw into the top of it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But I will say, being attached, being connected, I don't know what you did this last weekend. What I did? Let me tell you, Martin Freddy.
Oh.
We were getting, I would do the, hey, A word. What's the weather? And then she proceeded to say, in Frankfort, Illinois, there's a flash flood warning until 3 a.m. Oh, and I'm like, get out of here. It's beautiful. 77 degrees out. Not a cloud in the sky. Oh, A word. You are crazy with your shenanigans. So all of a sudden, 2 o'clock hits. Sheets of rain coming down. Bob Mould's second album, Black Sheets of Rain, that should just have been playing until probably for 24 hours, because that's all that was coming down in the suburbs of Chicago. And it just kept coming and coming. So finally, the electricity went out right around 6 o'clock. And the wife and I are looking at each other, and I'm like, well, I hope you downloaded a book, because we don't have cable now. We
oh,
don't have.
Man.
Luckily, the electricity came back on, but the internet, gone.
Mm.
And of course, this is like 6 o'clock, so of course, we finally get in communication with our internet provider, and they're like, oh, 10 p.m. We know there's an outage in that area. 10 p.m. So the wife and I, Julie, the cruise director, is like, I didn't download anything. Oh, shit. But as you well know, Julie, the cruise director, usually goes to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock. Sure. So 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, not that big of a deal. Like, I was not concerned, like, what's going to fill your time, Pumpkin? Luckily, I had Halloweeny reading, which I got a lot done. it was so good not to watch TV. So we were just whipping through that. Finally, we went upstairs right about 11 o'clock. I'm reading, and by the bluish hue of my tablet, my phone goes off, and I always set my phone to do not disturb. But I see the light flip on, and it's Julie the cruise director's mother, Philomena. And she's calling me. She's in bed before Julie the cruise director. So I'm like, what is happening over at her house? Well, of course, in my head, you know, I'm thinking she fell down the steps. So I answered the phone, and she's like, do you still have that that water? I don't even know what the hell they're called, but like, a vacuum that sucks up water.
And wet vac.
Yeah, wet vac. Thank you. And I'm like, yeah, I think so. I don't know. Why are you getting water? And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm getting water. And I'm just, you know, you could, I don't know about your mother-in-law, but like my mother-in-law, you can hear when she's tense and nervous, you can hear it in her voice. Mm. And she's 86 years old. So
my mother-in-law always sounds like that.
There you go. Well, she is a worry wart, but you can definitely tell when it's amped up, and this was amped up. So being 86, I was just like, oh, let me put on my shoes. I'll bring over the wet vac. No big deal. I'll be over there real soon. If it looks like the water's going to hit your carpets, you know, start coming out from like the basement, if it's going to start hitting, because she's in a tri-level. So her basement also has her living room in it.
Oh, wow.
So it's coming in from the crawl space, bathroom, washer, dryer area. So it's coming towards, I'm like, just throw down a couple towels. I'll be over there real soon. And she's like, okay, okay. So I hang up, and Julie, the cruise director at that point, she's up and she knows something's going on. And she's like, well, why don't I just, no. Cause in my head, it's like, it's been raining for like black sheets of rain, intense rain for a good 9 hours. No. I'll head over there, but you know what? I'm just, I'll keep you informed. Stay by the phone. So I load up, I bring over a big bucket, big sponge, also a mop, because I don't know what Philomena has. I have no clue. So I'm like, I'm going to bring stuff over that I would use at my house, just in case. Sure enough, she doesn't have a mop. Sure enough, there is no, like, wet vac. She doesn't even have like a bucket to dump stuff into. So I start sucking up all the water with the wet vac, and it's not one of those gigantic wet vacs. It's one of those wet vacs that's the size of, let me think, it's the size of like a KitchenAid like Cuisinart thing that you would like pulsate like vegetables, julienne vegetables in. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
It's like that size, but like it's taller. It's like a third taller. So it holds less than, because it also has the filter in there and like the ball, so it doesn't fill up past where it's supposed to go. So really, it should be filling up about a gallon worth of water, but with all of the other stuff that's in there, it probably fills up a half a gallon. So it's real freaking tiny. And that's, I think that's the thing that killed me. So pretty much from 11 till about 1, I was vacuuming up water. Then I finally got it under control with the mop and the vacuum, and the water would just start coming in. So obviously the water table has rose farther than the point at inner house that it was coming in at. So after about 2 hours, I finally got it pretty much under control that I only had to like wet vac every 15 minutes. And then I started to mop things down and like push it into, you know, the drainage hole. Mm-hmm. With the mop. Finally at, I don't know, 1 o'clock or midnight, I told Philomena, there's nothing you can do here. Cause you know, she was just sitting on a chair whittling. I'm like, you go upstairs, go lay down. And she's like, oh, I can't, I'll be so worried. I can't. And she's like off the boat from Great Britain. So she has a cute British accent. But she's like, oh, I can't. I'm going to be whittling. I can't. Oh, I can't leave you down here by yourself. And I'm like, there's nothing you can do. Go upstairs, lay down. And if there's anything that I need, I'll holler up, knowing that she's going to go lay down and she's going to pass out from exhaustion. Because like I said, she's in bed by 6, 6:30. So I keep doing this till about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Jesus.
And then finally the water. Oh, and I forgot to even mention, on the way over to Philomena's house, there's about 6 different routes you could take to get to her house. And 4 of them that I ran into were flooded. Like newly flooded. Like one, I went through so much water, deep water on the pavement, on the road, that I was shocked my car didn't just stop. So I probably went 4 out of the 6 ways to get to her house. And it was so newly flooded that I ran into 2 police officers setting up road closed barriers and directing me different routes. And there was like no one on the road. And so the second police officer, I got real close and I rolled down my window and I'm like, look, I got to get to Heather Road. My mother-in-law, her basement's flooded. I need to get over there. She's 86 years old. How do I get there? And he gave me these long out of the way directions, but luckily his directions were perfect that at that point, I never ran into any standing water on any road. It was a shocker that he like completely nailed it. So by the time I got over to Philomena's house, I called Liz and told her exactly what was going on. And I said, look, I'm going to be sleeping at your mom's house. There's no way I can make it home. All these, and do not like on my life, do not even try to come over. Dang. I don't want you to even try to drive. It was, honest to God, it was one of those times, and I've driven in blizzards, and I would say there was only one time that a Chicagoland blizzard scared me more than this flash flood thing. So it was just, it was white knuckle, like heart beating out of your chest. But anywho, did this till like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Finally, the water subsided a little bit, that the water table went down enough that it wasn't coming in the basement. Went upstairs, fell asleep on this couch that it was more of a love seat. And I mean, I was drenched in sweat. Like there was not a part of me that was not sweaty. And I fell asleep on this love seat with my like feet. I think the arm of the love seat where my feet were, the arm of the love seat was hitting maybe 3 inches below my knee. So I fell asleep there till about 7:30. And then I woke up and I'm like, I got to go home. Hopefully the drive will be a-okay. So that's what I did. But oh my God, I don't know if you're at this point, but holy Christ, going through something like that where you're bending around corners and like leaning over in these awkward positions. And it's almost like bizarro yoga that, oh my God, the following day, my back was freaking screaming up a storm to me. Holy Christ. It was terrible. Huh. But it was my good deed for the day.
Well, good for you. Aren't you the nicest man?
No. Hey, she's 86. You know, she doesn't have anything. She has a very small support system.
Sure.
So if I didn't, well, going back to your like tethered to your phone, if I didn't have my phone right there just as like a clock, because we don't have any clocks in any rooms, we use our phone.
Yeah.
Tell time. If I didn't have that and didn't see that, it was like, oh, I should answer that. Thank God my phone was not like downstairs charging.
Dang.
I don't know what she would have done. Holy Christ.
Mm. I didn't even know you guys had that kind of weather up there.
Oh, it was terrible, dude. Mm. Oh my God. It just, it's because it was raining for, and I mean hard. It was sheets of rain, but it went for a good, God, 14 hours.
Dang.
Yeah, it would still like sprinkle. But it was a consistent 14 hours with little breaks in the intensity for maybe 20 minutes every 2 hours. But I mean, my sump pump was just going. So even when I was at home before she called, I was still going downstairs and just listening to see like, okay, I hear the sump pump going, but is it ever going to click off? And then once I heard it click off and click back on, then I'm like, okay, at least it's not broken. Because I don't know about you, I've had sump pumps where they've broken and never have shut off. And then I've also had them go the other way where they're broken and they never turn on.
See, we don't need to worry about that here because houses in the South don't have basements.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
We have crawl spaces.
Oh, man. That's a great place for them spiders and insects.
That's why I never go in there.
It's a great breeding ground right there.
yes, I never go in there. But, yeah, I think it's partially because of the rain, but also mostly because of the red clay.
Sure. Yeah, well, we're in Oklahoma. It was because of the I think there was slate underneath it.
Oh, okay.
Underneath our houses. So, yeah, there was no basements.
Yeah.
Unless you were well off.
Ooh, a fancy pants.
Yes. If you were very rich, then you did an in-ground pool or you'd had a basement.
That's funny. That reminds me, when I lived in Texas, there were a lot of houses with pools, but mm-hmm. nobody ever had their pool filled. And I thought that was really weird.
Huh. Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's so hot that it just evaporates.
Wow. That would stink. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Weird.
No idea. All right, let's wrap this up, Nick.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Nerd Legion Podcast with Nick Wetmore. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerd Legion. And thanks for listening. See, all these people that complain about no comics talk, that's like 2 episodes in a month. You need to shut your goddamn mouth.
Yeah.
That's what I say. What else do we have going on? Nothing. Ronnie's getting married. Congratulations, Ronnie.
Very exciting.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.